This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
سل أمري وحل لقطة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to a Juz a Day. Just if I can get someone to tell me that they can hear me okay, please, inshallah. All right, thank you very much, Brother Michael. Appreciate that. On the Facebook side, somebody can just tell me that they can hear me. Is that good? Okay, thank you for that, Maher. Appreciate that. All right, let us get started, inshallah. Today we have the 12th juz that we are dealing with. The 12th juz of the Quran is the passage, or is the part that includes two surahs. And two surahs that are very closely related in their meaning, and they're very closely related in the way they are structured in the Quran. So they're closely related in the sense that both of these surahs are named after prophets, and both of these surahs mention stories of prophets of Allah. The first one is Surah Hud, the second one is Surah Yusuf. They're closely related in topic in the sense that both of these surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers that don't despair, don't give up. Allah has a plan for you. Even when things are really difficult and you can't make any sense out of it, Allah has a plan, and trust that. And these two surahs really highlight that point really beautifully. Yusuf alayhi salam's life, how he went through so many difficulties, so many betrayals by people who were supposed to love and support him, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a plan for him. And he came out on the other side of that plan as the one who was victorious, as the one who we celebrate. Okay, and in Surah Hud, the surah that we'll start with, there are so many prophets that Allah mentions. Allah mentions the story of Nuh alayhi salam. This is the longest narration of the story of Nuh alayhi salam. He mentions the story of Hud. That's who the surah is named after. The story of Salih, the story of Ibrahim, the story of of Lut and Shu'aib and Musa. All of these prophets, Allah tells their story. And then the theme of these historical narratives is don't give up. These prophets of Allah went through a lot of difficulty and they didn't give up. The Prophet ﷺ said about Surah Hud, and that's the surah that we'll begin with. He said about Surah Hud, "Shayyabatni Hudun wa akhawatuha." Hud and its sisters have made me old. This is when the Prophet ﷺ came one day and he had some gray hair, and the Wakr Siddiq asked him that, "O Messenger of Allah, you know, shibta, you have become, you've gotten some gray hair," and he replied by saying that it is Hud, the Surah Hud, and the surahs that are like Surah Hud that have made me old. What does this mean? What it means is that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the story, in the Surah Hud, there's a mention of prophets coming, prophets preaching, prophets being denied, and then Allah bringing his punishment upon the people of those prophets. That was the worry of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was extremely concerned that his people, who knew him better than anybody else, loved and respected him as much as anybody else in society, these people, because of their arrogance and stubbornness, would be the recipients of Allah's divine wrath if they didn't change their ways. So that was something that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very afraid of, and that was what, according to the scholars of hadith, is what caused him to get gray hair. This is that surah, Shayyabat Nihudun wa Akhawatuha. It starts with, it's a surah that actually starts in the previous juz. A few ayat of it are in the previous juz, and the remaining ayat of it are in the 12th juz. And we will start from the very beginning of the surah to make sure that that everything is together. The previous surah, Surah Yunus, ends with Allah saying, "Follow وَاتَّبِعْ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَاصْبِرْ حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ." follow what has been revealed to you from your Lord and be patient until Allah judges between the people. And then the next surah mentions, Surah Hud begins with Allah saying, Alif Lam Ra, Kitabun Uhkimat Ayatuhu, Thumma Fussilat Milladun Hakimin Khabir. This is a book that Allah has sent, whose ayat pass judgment, whose ayat are actually meant to be like they're definitive. So Allah in the previous ayah says that He wait until Allah sends down something definitive, and this surah says these ayat are the definitive signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is a beautiful connection between the two surahs in that regard. Let's begin looking at Surah Hud. The introduction, the Surah Hud, as I mentioned, the theme of it is don't give up. Don't despair. Don't give up. Don't ever think that it's things are hopeless. Don't ever think that Allah has abandoned you. Allah is with us. And the stories of these prophets, the narratives of these prophets historically, is going to be what Allah uses to build that case, to build that argument. The first part of this surah is an introduction on recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah begins by introducing first the book. This is the book that He has sent. That is, the verses of it are definitive. They are fundamental in nature, and they are expanded in detail in other parts of Quran. Kitabun uhkimat ayatuhu thumma fussilat. These ayat are mentioned with brevity in some places, expanded in other places, and that is one interpretation of this. He says after that, the reason for sending the book is ayah number 2, Allah ta'budu illallah, that you should worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the fundamental tenet of our faith. Innani lakum minhu nadhirun wa bashir, I am sent to you from Him to warn you and to give you good tidings. This is our shahada, la ilaha illallah. Begins with that. La ilaha, Allah ta'budu illallah. Innani lakum minhu nadhirun wa bashir, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Right? That is the shahada is expressed in this ayah. In many other ayat, the same, the concept of the shahada is expressed in different words. This is ayah number 2. The religion is worshipping Allah and seeking forgiveness from Allah. Anistaghfiru Rabbakum. Seeking forgiveness is essentially apologizing and saying sorry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the slip-ups and the mistakes that we have in our practice of our faith. Okay, so this is the idea that our faith tells us, that we are going to be making mistakes as we practice Islam. It is going to be impossible not to make mistakes. So the religion is a religion of forgiveness. It is a religion of tawbah. We are expected to make mistakes, and then we are expected to apologize for our mistakes and ask Allah for forgiveness for that. And if we have hurt people, then the mandate is to give reparations or apologize to the people who have been hurt. And istaghfiru rabbakum thumma tubu ilayhi, and then you turn towards Him. We apologize to Allah, and then we strive to become better. Strive to give up that bad habit. Always trying to improve. Ramadan is that opportunity, by the way, to seek forgiveness and strive to become better. يُمَتِّعْكُمْ مَتَاعًا حَسَنًا. If you're able to do this, worship Allah alone, follow the Prophet seek forgiveness for mistakes, you know, not have the arrogance to not recognize your own flaws, and then all constantly trying to improve, تُمَّتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ, trying to get better as a process, trying to give up bad habits, trying to become more and more of a person who does good. That, if that happens, then Allah says, يُمَتِّعْكُمْ مَتَاعًا حَسَنًا. He will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guaranteeing that He will make a generous life for you in this world until it's time to go. And then, وَيُؤْتِ كُلَّ ذِي فَضْلٍ فَضْلًا, on the day of judgment, in the next life, He will bestow His grace on all those who deserve, or all those who merit it. SubhanAllah. So this is the recipe for a good life. Worship Allah alone. Follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Be humble and have the humility to recognize your own mistakes. And have the humility to apologize for them, apologize to Allah for our mistakes, and apologize to other people for who we have hurt. And then continue to improve. ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Continue to get better, getting closer to Allah, shedding those bad habits. And when that happens, Allah will give us a good life now until we pass away, and will give us all the merit that we deserve and more in the next life. That is a beautiful message, a summary of the message of Islam in the very beginning of the surah, a very beautiful, very powerful introduction. And Allah says, إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. Your return will be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He has power over all things. So that is something we should not forget, that we have a choice, of course, right now, but our return will be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when we return to Him, you have no choice. That is when you are held accountable, not when you are making choices at that time. The time to make choices and decisions is now in this world. So there's a sense of urgency. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes how the people of Makkah, unfortunately, were choosing the wrong thing. See how they covered themselves up to hide their thoughts from Him. They are turning away from the Prophet sallam as the Prophet sallam is preaching to them. But Allah says, Allah knows what they're hiding, and Allah knows what they're scheming. إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Because He knows the innermost thoughts of people. And that's a beautiful expression. إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. He knows us intricately well, and our thoughts that are very deeply inside of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions, part of His majesty is that He is the one who takes care of all living beings. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. Amazing. That every living creature on the earth, it is the responsibility of Allah to provide for that living creature. Subhanallah, every living creature, an animal, an ant, a fish, a bird, whatever thing you can think of, it is the responsibility of Allah to provide for that creature. Why are we as human beings then concerned about our risk? Our risk is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that should give us this mental peace. It shouldn't make us passive. And wrongfully, the wrong understanding of this is, you know, my risk is from Allah, so what do I have to do anything for, right? That is a misunderstanding. In fact, that is a perverted understanding of this ayah and this concept. The correct understanding is Allah is the one who is going to provide the means for us to earn our living. We will take those means. We will go and take those means and earn our living. Allah is the one who provides those means, and Allah is the one who's guaranteeing that. So do not feel in a state of despair when a person has lost their sustenance, has lost their job. That's a time where people very quickly fall into despair and very quickly give up hope. Allah is reassuring. No. You should not become, hopeless at that time. You should not despair at that time. Understand Allah has your back. Allah will provide for you like He provides for every single creature on this earth. And this is a liberating feeling. If we can understand this, wallahi, and live this, this is one of the best feelings and one of the best mindsets that a person can have. That risk is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who provides. And when He provides and He gives means, we take them. He mentions also His majesty. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. He enthroned above the waters. It was He who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. The days here, ayyam, is actually... Yawm in old Arabic is not just 24 hours. 24 hours is obviously a yawm. But it is actually a time of a period of time. Any period of time could be called a yawm. So this is six periods of time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth in. Okay. Now, this is a beautiful concept. This is a concept that we find in the Bible. This is a concept we find in the Quran. In the Bible, it says that on the seventh day, God rested. We reject that completely because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tire. He does not get any, even a little bit of tiredness is impossible because Allah is perfection. He is perfection and tiredness is imperfection. One of the wisdoms of why Allah created the heavens and the earth, all of the universe in these six periods, is to show to us that sometimes things that are important will take some time to get accomplished. Okay, so as the things are taking their course, as things are playing out, our job and our responsibility should be to remain patient and not become people of despair. Just like the earth and everything else, Allah could have created it in an instant. He didn't. He created it over a period of time to teach us that sometimes His plan, the plan of Allah, takes its time to run its course, and we have to be patient through it. And that's a beautiful mindset if we can only understand that and live that. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one of the things that when it comes to recognizing Allah, one of the things that prevents a person from recognizing Allah correctly is the fickle nature of human beings. Extremely fickle. And that is a sign of people who don't really recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 8 to ayah 11 of Surah Hud describes the fickleness of the nature of the human being. What does it say? It says, if we defer their punishment until an appointed time, they ask, what is holding it back? If Allah doesn't immediately take a person to task, this in this case, this person who is mocking the idea of accountability and resurrection would say, well, what's holding the punishment back? Why doesn't it just come right away? But Allah says, "Ala yawma ya'tihim laysa masrufan anhum." The day it comes, okay? Because this kind of criticism is not like a real question. It's not like a real discussion. It's a question in the it's mockery in the guise of a question. So Allah does not respond to the merits of the question. That's not even dignifying it with a response. He goes straight to something that will perhaps break the arrogance of the one who's saying it. What is that thing that he says? "Ala yawma ya'tihim laysa masrufan anhum." On the day when it overtakes them, there will be nothing to avert it from them, and what they used to mock shall what they used to mock at shall encompass them. What they were mocking, the punishment of Allah, will completely envelop them, and they would have nothing that would stop that punishment from coming on that day. Subhanallah. This is actually a beautiful Quranic style. When a question is asked that has merit, Allah dignifies that question with an answer. When a question is asked where the answer is, you're asking for information that you can't have, like when is the day of judgment going to be, the response is talking about where should the focus be. And when the questioner is asking a question to mock Allah, to mock the religion, the answer is not even dignifying the question. The answer goes, and it's kind of like a response to address the core issue of arrogance and disbelief that question is springing from. It's such an amazing way, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses different audiences in the Quran. And this is just a glimpse of it. The Quran is filled with such beautiful discourse. Okay, fickle nature of people. Ayah number 9, when we bestow upon a man a measure of our grace, okay, rahmah, some good happens to them, then we take it away. This person, innahu la ya'usun kafur, he descends into despair and becomes completely ungrateful to Allah. Look at this. Allah says, we have given him rahmah, something good, some mercy, something nice, and then Allah just takes it away. This person now, is it worse off than before? They're actually the same as before, kind of like back to square one. It's not like Allah took away more than he gave this person. But just the mere fact that Allah gave him something, like gave him one thing and then took that one thing back, just that process makes the fickle nature of human beings is that they fall into despair, descending into a person who is extremely ungrateful, ya'usun kafur. That's the fickle nature that Allah is warding us against, as that when bad things happen, we can't fall into this. We can't. We cannot just give into despair at the moment or at the first strike of adversity. Can't do that. That's not, that's someone who doesn't understand Allah, doesn't recognize Allah. Okay? Doesn't understand the plan of Allah, doesn't recognize Allah, doesn't understand the difficulties the prophets have been through. Okay? They went through difficulties, adversity, and never gave up hope. This is the matlub, this is the required mindset that we are, that's asked of us. If adversity, and Allah says again, highlighting the fickle nature of human beings, ayah number 10, if after adversity we let him taste good fortune, he says, all my ills are gone, and then he becomes farihun fakhur, exultant and boastful. Okay? Oscillating wildly between despair to exultant and boastful, between completely ungrateful to boasting about all the goods that he has. This, these wild swings, that shows a person is very fickle, doesn't understand that life has ups and downs, has tests, and the tests are from Allah to see, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا, ayah number 11, not so those who are patient and do good deeds, they shall have forgiveness and a great reward. So, this is the idea. The ones who recognize Allah, who have iman in Allah, they are the ones who are patient in bad times, and they don't despair, they don't give up in bad times, and they continue to do their good deeds. Those are the people that will have a forgiveness and a great reward. A small subtlety, if I may add, this is actually a very beautiful passage of the Quran. I really love this passage, and I'm spending a little extra time on it because it's such a powerful passage. Usually the Quran says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who believe and do good, right? But here Allah says, those who are patient who and do good. In essence, Allah is saying, patience in the face of difficult times is equivalent to iman. That's equivalent to believing in Allah. Like, you want to know what belief is? Belief in Allah is faith in Allah. Iman in Allah is being patient when times are tough. That is what iman is. And that equivalency is very exquisite in the Quran. How Allah makes that equivalency. There is, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the Prophet would feel at times, you know, like all human beings, the emotion of sadness, the emotion of, you know, being down. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't be down. Innama anta nadhir. You are only a warner. Your job is not to take this to heart. Just do your job to convey the message. And Allah, Allahu ala kulli shayin wakil. And Allah is the guardian of all things. Leave everything else in the hands of Allah. Okay? The Quran challenges those who say that this is a book that the Prophet has fabricated. This is a challenge the Quran makes on multiple occasions. And it's a notable challenge because the people of Arabia at that time were masters of their language, masters of poetry and prose, and nobody ever took up that challenge. There were other challenges that they took up, that the Prophet challenged them against. But this was one challenge that never dared to do so, because they knew these words are divinely inspired. And that the Quran style, the words are known, but the stylistic nature of the Quran is so unique. It's as if it's like a new language, using the words of an existing language. And that, you know, style was so powerful that the Arabs of the time completely were silent in the face of this challenge. Despite their arrogance, despite their pointed questions that the Quran quotes and answers, never at once did they take up the challenge though. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes how the مَثَلُ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ. This is a beautiful example, a beautiful ayah that sets up the rest of the surah. these two groups are like كالأعمى والأصمي والبصيري والسميع. Ayah number 24. These two groups, are like the blind and the deaf. Blind and deaf compared to البصيري والسميع, those who are who can see and hear. Now, this is of course not a indictment or a criticism or a slight against people who are disabled. This is not, don't misunderstand the example, please. Okay? The example is the one who can see and hear like the one who cannot see and cannot hear? Are they two like the same in their abilities? The answer, of course, is no. They're not the same in their ability. The one who can see and hear has a lot of advantages over the one who cannot see and cannot hear. Okay? And here, this is the point of the example. The one who is able to practice their faith, listen to what the revelation says, and then listen to it with an open mind and an open heart, and then practice it. That's like the one who is able to see and hear. And the one who is, irrespective of whether they have heard it or not, has made up their mind to reject it and throw it away, that is like the one who is unable to see and unable to hear. كَالْأَصَمِّ كَالْأَعْمَى وَالْأَصَمِّ. That is the analogy that Allah is giving. And that analogy is important because that, after this ayah, after 24, is until the very end of the surah, story after story after story of a prophet. Because that's how the people treated their prophets. Rejecting the message of the prophet and treating it as if they were unable to hear and unable to see. As if their faculties of hearing and seeing had departed them when it came to the message of Allah. And that's a fascinating comment on how people treat the practice of the religion. Like in everything else, a person can be rational, but when it comes to the practice of faith, all of a sudden they are completely irrational in the way they see it and perceive it. That's an interesting comment that Allah makes, and this it sets up the rest of the surah talking about different prophets. It begins firstly by the story of Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam, this is the longest description of his story in the Quran, ayah number 25 to ayah number 49. His life and his struggles are mentioned. Allah says, "We sent Noah to his people, and like all prophets, he said, 'Inni lakum nadhirun mubin. I have come to you with a clear warning that you should worship none but God. La ilaha illallah.' That's the message of every prophet. Whatever language they spoke, that was their message. La ilaha illallah. Wa inni rasulullah. And I am the messenger of Allah." Okay? That's the message. So the believer in Nuh would say, La ilaha illallah, Nuh rasulullah. The believer in Ibrahim alayhi salam would say, La ilaha illallah, Ibrahimu rasulullah. The believer in Moses would say, La ilaha illallah, Musa rasulullah. The believer in Isa would say, La ilaha illallah, Isa Rasulullah. And when we say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, we say all the prophets before, we believe them, that they all said the same thing and they all came with the same message. That's the idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to highlight with these stories of the prophets. Now, he also says, if you don't do so, if you don't worship Allah, I fear that a terrible punishment will befall you. Now, Al-Mala, the leaders, the people who are influential, the ones who are the leaders of society that people follow, that people emulate, try to be like them, concentration of power and wealth, they said, they're the ones who Allah says rejected the truth. They said, we see you only as a human being, you're nothing special. And we see those who follow you as the lowest of us. These are not smart, intelligent, influential people. These aren't like special people who are, celebrities. These are the lowliest of all people, those of immature judgment. Badi al-ra'i. We don't see any merit in you, but we think that you are a liar. Okay? Look at how, what kind of criticism is this? That your followers are not influential. Your followers are not important people. That's why we don't think you are on the truth. Nuh alayhi salam responds, he says that, well, I have a clear evidence from my Lord, and he's favored me with grace from himself. Right? If you're unable to recognize that, I can't force it upon you. But don't, you know, don't say to the people that are following me, وَلَا أَقُولُ لِلَّذِينَ تَزْدَرِ أَعْيُنُكُمْ those who are following me, I'm not going to look down upon them in contempt because you have contempt for them. I'm not going to do that because Allah knows the good that's in them. All human beings have the capacity for good. Don't judge them by their appearance. Allahu a'lamu bima fi anfusihim. Allah knows what's in their hearts. And if I did so, if I was to look at them with contempt, I would be from the zalimin, from the wrongdoers, from the oppressors. Because now I've taken something and put it in a place where it doesn't belong. I have taken, I have judged a person by their appearance, not by their taqwa, not by their merits. And that's unfair. And that's what injustice is. Nuh alayhi salam very eloquently explains why this is not the right way to look at things, right? And he also says, وَمَا أَنَا بِطَارِدِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. I'm not going to drive these people away just because you don't like them. They are the ones who have believed in the Lord, and they are going to believe, they're going to meet their Lord just like you are going to meet your Lord as well. Nuh alayhi salam, as he's explaining this, these people have no rebuttal. So they say, يَا نُوحُ قَدْ جَادَلْتَنَا. Noah, you have argued with us and argued excessively. Now bring down the punishment upon us that you threaten with if you are truthful. Bring this punishment, you know, just enough argument. Okay. Nuh alayhi salam, like all prophets, says, this is not my job, it's not my prerogative to bring the punishment. Innama ya'tikum bihillah. Allah will bring it upon you if He wishes, and when it does come, you can escape it. Now, as this surah is unfolding, as this story is unfolding, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on a small tangent. He says, as a tangent, that are they still saying that the Prophet made this up? How on earth is he going to know all these details about the life of Nuh alayhi salam without having access to the Bible, without having access to be able to read and write, while he lived in Mecca, isolated largely from other faith communities? How is he able to get these detailed information? Like, what was the questioning that Nuh alayhi salam faced, and how did he respond to that questioning? This is actually specific only in this surah, and other surahs don't mention that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tangentially asks this question. Do the people still think the Prophet is making this up? Of course not. Goes back to the story of Nuh. Says, it was told to Nuh, no one will believe from your people. No one's going to believe anymore. Whoever has believed will be your believer. The rest of these people are not going to believe. فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ. Don't despair. Don't grieve over what they're going to do. Okay. Again, the point of the surah and the theme is don't despair. Allah has a plan. Don't despair. Here, Allah tells Nuh alayhi salam, وَصْنَعِ الْفُلْكِ. Build the ship. Build the ark. بِأَعْيُنِنَا وَوَحْيِنَا. Under our eyes and in accordance with our revelation. And don't plead with me concerning the evildoers, they shall be drowned. Now, Nuh alayhi salam is building the ark and there is no body of water around him. So people who are who were his adversaries started to mock him. They're like, he's lost his mind. They would scoff at him. He was preaching, now he's becoming, he's building a ship and there's no water anywhere. Okay, Nuh alayhi salam responds. He says, "In taskharu minna, fa inna naskharu minkum kama taskharun." If you are scoffing at us, we shall also scoff at you and your ignorance, just as you scoff at us. And you will soon know who will receive a humiliating punishment and find unleashed against him an everlasting punishment. You will soon know what's gonna come. Okay, hatta idha jaa amruna, when our command came. وَفَارَتْ تَنُّورِ, and the water gushed forth in torrents. فَارَتْ تَنُّورِ, one interpretation is that the oven started to overflow with water, meaning the water started coming out from under the earth and started to gush from inside the, like it just started to come out from the earth and started to rain from the sky. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when that started to happen, said to Nuh alayhi salam, take into the ark a pair of every species with your family. And of course, the believers. Illa man sabqa alayhi al-qaulu minhum. But don't take any disbelieving members of your family. Only the believing members of your family. They are going to go, And Allah says, وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Only a few believed with Nuh alayhi salam. Only a few people, despite that he spent almost a millennium preaching the message of Islam, only a handful of people believed with him. And this tells us, by the way, that numbers are not the judge of success. Numbers don't tell you who's successful, who's not. Because if you judge by numbers, Nuh alayhi salam didn't have many numbers. But he's one of the greatest prophets of all time because of the quality. And the quality of patience, the quality of not despairing for 950 years. That's an unimaginably long time to be patient and to not lose hope. That is who he was. That was the quality that he had, alayhi salam. And that's the inspiration for us and for the Prophet ﷺ that Allah wants to teach through his story. He said, embark on the ship, Bismillahi majriha wa mursaha. It shall, in the name of God, it shall set sail and cast anchor. Truly my Lord is forgiving and merciful. And it, this ark, tajribihim fi mawjin kaljibal. This is a beautiful expression. This is a little ark, and Allah is using the present tense verb here, as if to bring this incident that was in the past into life in front of our eyes. It is floating. Tajri bihim fi mawjin, amongst these or on top of these waves that are like mountains. Wanada Nuhu nibnahu, and Nuh called out to his son. He said, O my son, embark with us and do not be among the deniers. Come, son, join us. But this son of Nuh was not a believer, an arrogant, miserable person. He said, سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلٍ يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. I will climb a mountain to seek refuge from this water, from this storm. I'll be fine. Nuh alayhi salam replied, there is nothing that will save you this day from God's command except by His mercy, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمٍ. And as he was explaining this to his son, وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجِ, a wave swept in between them, separating the two, father and son, وَفَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ, and the son drowned. And this is a tragedy that Nuh alayhi salam had to experience. And this is one of the stories, one of the lessons. We will experience tragedy, personal tragedy. But we can't give up hope. We cannot despair in the face of trials, personal, or when it comes to our commitment to the cause. But especially personal tragedy, like losing a child or losing family members, should not cause us to become lose hope in Allah's mercy. Of course, sadness is there. The Prophet ﷺ would cry. He cried when he lost his son. He lost 6 of his 7 children before he passed away. ﷺ. He would cry profusely. But that crying was the natural response to sadness and grief. It was not to question the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the Prophet said, Inna al-'ayna la tadma wa inna al-qalba la yahzan. The eyes are overflowing with tears and the heart is grieved, but we only say what pleases our Lord. Wala naqulu illa ma yurdi rabbana. And that is the true sign of a believer, that they are able to understand the wisdom, or they're able to hold their emotions when they are emotional and not say something that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in times of loss and tragedy, even when they don't understand the wisdom of what happened, holding their tongue at that moment is patience. Crying and being sad is natural, and that doesn't negate patience. But so we see here, Nuh alayhi salam experiences this personal tragedy, and he was very saddened by it. He made dua to Allah. He said, "Oh Allah, you said that my family would be saved, and my son was from my family, but my son was not saved." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to him in ayah number 46, Ya Nuhu, Noah, he was not of your family. Even though he's your son, he was not a believer. And Allah has said to Nuh, anybody who's not a believer will not be saved on this day. Innahu amalun ghayru salih. That was explained. He was unrighteous in his conduct. فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Don't question me about something of which you have no knowledge. I admonish you lest you become an ignorant man. You know, emotion causes us, grief causes us to think about what is happening or why is something happening. Nuh alayhi salam was asking that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds him, look, your son was not a believer. That's why he wasn't on that ship. And I told you only the believers will be on that ship. So don't question about something that's already been explained. Nuh alayhi salam immediately recognizes that he had overstepped his bounds. He says, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ. My Lord, I seek refuge with you from asking you something of which I have no knowledge. وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي أَكُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. If you don't forgive me and show me mercy, I will be of the losers. Subhanallah, this is a lesson for us. In moments of grief, we may say something that we regret. We may, you know, as a slip of a tongue, question the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that is not like a damning, statement. That's not like a indictment of us. Of course, when we recognize our, what the reality is, we should وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ, like the surah began. Say istighfar, say sorry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then work on improving. So this is a glimpse of that human battle, especially in the face of losing someone as beloved as your own child. Okay. Now this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the conclusion of the story of Nuh says, these are the tidings of the unseen. These are the stories of the unseen, Nuhiha ilayk, that we reveal to you, O Prophet. Ma kunta ta'lamuha, you didn't know this, nor did your people before. Fasbir innal aqibata lil muttaqin, so be patient because the future belongs to the God fearing. The idea that Allah here is presenting is as follows. O Prophet, you did not know this. Your people didn't know this. You didn't know this. This is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, driving home that point that the Prophet ﷺ is a messenger of Allah. This is something that he himself had no idea of and had no access to. But the point of the story is, fasbir, be patient. You know, stay the course. Don't despair, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, at the end of the day, make you victorious. He will bring you out on the other side better, just like Nuh alayhi salam was brought to the other side, and he was, in a better place. Hud is the next story. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخْوَاهُمْ هُودًا. To Ad, we sent their brother Hud. Notice how Allah calls him their brother. Brother in humanity, right? Brother in humanity, from the same ethnicity, from the same race, that was Hud alayhi salam. He said the same thing. يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. O my people, worship God alone. You have no God but Him. He says, if you are worshipping other idols or deities, you are fabricating those as gods when they're not gods. My job isn't to ask you for money. My job is to convey the message. My people, turn in forgiveness to your Lord. استغفروا ربكم ثم توبوا إليه. And then turn to Him in repentance, i.e. ask for forgiveness, acknowledge your mistakes, and then continue to improve. And if you do so, He will send you rain in abundance, and He will give you more strength. يَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ وَلَا تَتَوَلَّوا مُجْرِمِينَ. Hud alayhi salam is explaining that not only, remember, when the surah began by saying, ask forgiveness, and repent, i.e. try to become better and better. Allah says, يُمَتِّعْكُمْ مَتَاعًا حَسَنًا. He'll give you a good life now and an amazing life in the next life. So here, Hud alayhi salam is saying the same thing. Allah will give you blessings in this life when you believe, when you repent, when you try to become a better person and more devoted. Allah will give you blessings in this world as well. It's not just only that He will reserve everything for the next life. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا. Give us all the good in this life and all the good in the next life. So he's reminding them Allah will give you all of these great things as well. Now, the response is predictably rejection. يَهُودُ مَا جِئْتَنَا بِبَيِّنَا. Ehud, you haven't brought us any evidence, and we're not going to leave our gods just because of what you are saying, and we don't believe in you at all. And we actually say that you have been struck by magic. إِنَّ قُولُوا إِلَّا عَتَرَاكَ بَعْضُ آلِهَتِنَا بِسُوءٍ. Hud alayhi salam says, I call God to witness that I have nothing to do with your claims. That's not what I have done. إِنِّي تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ. I have, رَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ. I have put my trust in God, my Lord, and your Lord. Okay? He continues to, he explains the message, And after that, he has done his job. They have rejected him. And now, وَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا نَجَّيْنَا هُودًا. When Allah's command came, we delivered Hud and those who believe with him with our special mercy. And وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ غَلِيظٍ. Saved them from a severe punishment. And Ad, the people who disbelieved, were destroyed. تِلْكَ عَاد. Such were Ad. جَحَدُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ. They denied the signs of the Lord. وَعَصَوْا رُسُلَهُ. Disobeyed his messengers. وَاتَّبَعُوا أَمْرَ كُلِّ جَبَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ. And followed the bidding of every headstrong enemy of the truth. Meaning, they went against. They saw that physical might, luxury, privilege in this world was a better determination of who is truthful and who's not, who's successful and who's not. And they followed that instead of following the messenger of Allah who has brought revelation to them and is clearly a messenger. This is not like someone who is spoken off as a messenger. He is a messenger. And thus, that was their end. Interesting tidbit here. وَعَصَوْا رُسُلَهُ. They disobeyed his messengers in plural, even though they only saw one messenger. And the idea here is the one who disobeys and rejects one messenger of Allah has rejected all of them, because rejecting a messenger of Allah is rejecting the one who sent the messenger. So you have now de facto disobeyed all of them. And this is a beautiful, beautiful subtlety that the Quran mentions. Next one is Salih alayhi salam. وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. To Thamud we sent their brother Salih. Same style. My people, worship God. You have no other deity but Him. لا إله إلا الله. Okay? And then a reminder. He is the one who brought you from the earth, settled you upon it. So, same thing. فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Ask for His forgiveness and turn to Him in repentance. Apologize, acknowledge mistakes, have the humility, and then try to be better. إِنَّ رَبِّي قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبٌ. Okay? Now, Salih alayhi salam, they say something very interesting to Salih. They're like, Salih, we thought you were a good... We had high hopes for you, Salih. We thought you're going to be something in this world. We didn't think you're going to turn into like this preacher business. Ya Salih, قَدْ كُنْتَ فِينَا مَرْجُوًا قَبْلَ هَذَا. We thought, we had great hopes in you, O Salih. And are you stopping us from worshipping what our fathers used to do? Like, are you saying our culture and our religion is wrong? You know, that is something very strange. And we are like we're very suspicious of what you are telling us, O Salih. Okay? Salih alayhi salam says that, look, this is the truth. This is the evidence that my Lord has given me, that I'm giving it to you, that I'm presenting to you. And more evidence for you, here is the camel of God. هَذِهِ نَاقَةُ اللَّهِ. The she camel. This is a sign for you. Leave her alone to graze on God's earth and do her no harm. The idea here is they asked for a miracle and there was their miracle. But did the miracle make them accept Islam? Of course it didn't. فَعَقَرُوهَا. They hamstrung her and killed her. And that said, hey, Salih, bring the punishment. Salih alayhi salam said, enjoy yourselves in your home. تَمَتَّعُوا فِي دَارِكُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ. 3 days. Enjoy yourself for 3 days and then the punishment is going to come. And when the punishment came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He saved Salih and those who believed from the disgrace of that day, and your Lord is surely powerful and mighty. And those who were wrongdoers were overtaken by a dreadful blast. كَأَلَّمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا. As if they never lived there in the first place. أَلَا إِنَّ ثَمُودَ كَفَرُوا رَبَّهُمْ. أَلَا بُعْدًا لِثَمُودَ. The Thamud denied their Lord. Cursed are the tribe of Thamud. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ بِالْبُشْرَى. Here mentions the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. These angels came to him and they're like, salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam responds by saying salam. And he brings to them this roasted calf, عِجْلٍ حَنِيذ. It's nicely roasted, like good job with on the barbecue there. Okay. Then as he sees that they're not eating, he's afraid. He's like, are they here to kill me because they're not eating my food? But then the angels say, no, don't worry. We're angels that Allah has sent. And we are sent to the people of Lot. Now, the people at this point also, they say, you are going to have a child with your wife, Sarah. Ishaq is going to be your child. So the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam was surprised. She's like, how can I have a child? I'm really old, right? My wahada ba'li shaykha, my husband is also really old and I am ajuz, I am barren. How can I have a child? And the angels say, don't be astonished at the mercy of God. Don't be astonished at the command of God. This is going to be a miraculous child. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum ahlal bayt. O family, O people of this house, may the mercy of God and blessings be upon you. And that's what we say in our dua, in salah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Right? That is where, innaka hamidun majid, ayah number 73. That is the reference to our durood, our salawat on the Prophet salam. Now, Ibrahim al-Salam, of course, when he figured out what is happening, he couldn't get past the fact that Lut al-Islam's people are going to be destroyed. So he started to ask Allah to spare them. Because Allah says, Inna Ibrahim ala halimun awahun munib. Subhanallah. He was tender-hearted. He was gentle. He didn't want the punishment of Allah to fall on anybody. But Allah says to Ibrahim, A'arid an hadha. Ibrahim, cease your pleading. This is the command of your Lord and is going to come to pass. Okay? Now, these messengers come to Lut alayhi salam. Lut was actually Ibrahim alayhi salam's nephew. Ibrahim was also worried about his nephew, but also the people who were in that city. Now, Lut alayhi salam's people were a collection of people who were homosexual. Okay, and they were openly homosexual. That was what they considered normal. Now, those people, when the angels came in the form of young men, they came to these angels running and seeking to commit shameless acts with these angels. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ هَا أُولَٰئِ بَنَاتِهُنَّ أَطْهَرُ لَكُمْ Lut alayhi salam says, my people, here are my daughters, not his literal daughters, the daughters of the nation. The women of the nation, you should have intimate relations with them under the bonds of marriage. That is hunna atharu lakum. That is purer for you. Okay? فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ Have fear of God. وَلَا تُخْزُونِ فِي ضَيْفِي Don't disgrace me before my guests. أَلَيْسَ مِنْكُمْ رَجُلٌ رَشِيدٌ Is there not a single right-minded person amongst you? Okay? They're like, we know what you have to say. We've already heard this message. We have no need of women. Okay? وَإِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمُ مَا نُرِيدٌ You know what we are seeking. Lut alayhi salam then is told by the angels, don't worry, Lut, they're not going to come to me. They're not going to reach us, Lut. We are angels. Nothing's going to happen. But you, Lut, فَأَسْرِ بِي أَهْلِكَ بِقِطْعٍ مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ Depart with your family while it is yet night. Okay? And let none of you look back, but leave your wife behind. She will suffer the fate that befalls the others. Why did she suffer that fate? Because she was the one who, even though she wasn't engaging in the practices of our people, she had sympathy towards them and she wanted to support them. And she betrayed her husband when he told her not to tell the people about these young people that are guests in his house. She betrayed her husband in that, and thus she was left behind. This story will come back more in Surah number 26, where there is a lot more detail that I like to highlight then, inshallah. Because in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in passing. But of course, that was the end of those people. They were, by the punishment, by the decree of their Lord, they were punished. And their punishment was because of their injustice. Then Allah mentions the story of Shu'aib. The story of Shu'aib is mentioned in quite a bit of detail to the people of Madian. Shu'aib alayhi salam was sent, and he said, people, worship God, you have no deity other than Him. And he mentions to the people about the idea of وَلَا تَنْقُصُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانِ Don't give short measure and don't shortchange the people. Okay? Every prophet came to their people addressing the ills, the vices of society, and Shu'aib alayhi salam was no different. Here he is addressing these people who would shortchange others when it came to business transactions. an interesting criticism from their people, from the people of Shu'aib. I'd like to highlight that and then move on to the next story. They said, Shu'aib, does your prayer tell you to that we should abandon what our forefathers worshipped and that we should stop disposing of our belongings as we please? Like, أَصَّلَاتُكَ تَأْمُرُكَ أَن نَتْرُكَ مَا يَعْبُدُ أَبَاؤُنَا? Like, is this prayer stuff that you're praying, is that like the reason why you say we should be ethical in business? In their minds, they're like, yo, this prayer thing is personal business. Keep it in your home. Let us do what we want with our money. Money has nothing to do with morality, right? That's the mindset of these people. And then they're actually mocking Shu'aib. إِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ الْحَلِيمُ الرَّشِيدُ. Like, you're so gentle and so wise. A very interesting criticism. You find this today as well. Hey, this I worship thing, more power to you, but it's personal. Keep it to yourself. Okay? Don't let that interfere with other aspects of life. Whereas in Islam, we believe our whole life is devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way we eat, the way we have families, the way we transact business, all of that is for us a act of worship. So Shu'aib alayhi salam, responds to that criticism, which is really like mockery in this form of a question. He says, people, what do you think? If I have clear evidence from my Lord and he has sustained me in a good way, should I not explain the message to you? My job is to explain. In uridu illa al-islah. My job, I only want to do good and reform as much as I can. Wa ma tawfiqi illa billah. I can't succeed without Allah's help. I have put my trust in him and to him I turn. And this is a beautiful way that, look, our job is to just try our best to improve ourselves and improve those around us. And if people are not given to improvement and change, we can't do anything. We can't compel someone to change who doesn't want to change. Shu'aib alayhi salam, of course, his people similarly were punished when they denied him. وَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا نَجَّيْنَا شُعَيْبًا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا وَأَخَذَتِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا الصَّيْحَةَ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دِيَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ كَأَن لَّمْ يَغْنَوْا فِيهَا, as if they had never lived there. أَلَا بُعْدًا لِّمَدْيَن, away with the people of Midian, just like the people of Thamud. The Musa alayhi salam is mentioned very briefly here in only two ayat, that he was sent to Fir'aun and his people, but then the people, even though the Musa alayhi salam was one of the best people to ever live on the earth, people chose to follow the Pharaoh, even after all the signs were given to them, clear as light, clear as daylight, they still chose to follow the Pharaoh. And because they chose to follow the Pharaoh, the dominant, mighty person, a curse followed them in this world. And likewise, they will follow him into hellfire on the Day of Judgment. Okay, that is the news of the earlier towns. ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْقُرَىٰ نَقُصُّهُ عَلَيْكَ مِنْهَا قَائِمٌ وَحَسِيدٌ. Some are standing, others have ceased to stand. Allah says he is not the one who wronged them. They wronged themselves. They chose their decisions and their choices had consequences. That is like, that's their prerogative. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not just punish them wrongfully. He sent them messengers. And Allah says that his punishment is severe, especially after he has sent the messenger and the message is crystal clear and the people rejected, then the punishment is very severe. SubhanAllah. Now, this is the message also for the Prophet ﷺ, also to not give up hope in what has happened, not to despair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some scenes from the Day of Judgment, that the Day of Judgment, when it comes, no soul shall speak except by the permission of Allah. Some will be damned, others will be blessed. The ones who are damned will be the wretched ones in the fire, sighing and groaning. لَهُمْ فِيهَا زَفِيرٌ وَشَهِيقٌ. And that is going to be their case timelessly, subhanAllah. And then as for those, we ask Allah's protection from that kind of punishment. But as for those who are blessed and are made happy on that day, they shall be in paradise forever, timelessly, as long as Allah had intended. أَطَاءً غَيْرَ مَجْذُوذٍ, a bounty that will be unending, a gift that will be unending. Allah says in the conclusion of this surah that فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ, stand firm on the straight path, committed to the truth as you have commanded, and stand committed along with those who are with you. Those who are man taba ma'ak, want to repent and become better. وَلَا تَطْغَوْا, and don't exceed bounds, for Allah sees everything. So be firm to the truth, be firm in practicing the faith along with those who are with you. Don't incline towards those who are unjust. Don't seek help and assistance in getting the upper hand to look or become more dominant by inclining towards those who are oppressors. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ, because allying with the oppressors is going to be a lose-lose scenario. You're going to lose in this world, and in the next life will also be punishment. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَىٰ, establish the prayers. طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ, at both ends of the day, i.e. morning and evening. وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ, and at night. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ, because good deeds make amends for evil. That's what tawbah for us is. A theme of this surah, as you could see, along with not despairing, is what is tawbah? What is repentance? How do you get better? This is the way to get better. Be firm. Don't incline towards those that are oppressive and wrong. And establish the prayer, because when you make a mistake, we should not just continue thinking that we are hopeless, we can't get any better, so let's just continue to be bad and just forget about this whole improving aspect. No, establish the prayer, because that prayer will wipe away the sins. Don't ever let shaitan make you think that you're beyond help or beyond hope. Subhanallah. And wasbir, continue to be patient. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not let the wages, or does not let the reward of those who are righteous, he won't let it ever go to waste. This is Surah Hud. It concludes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that He is the one, Allah is the one who has the knowledge of all that's in the skies and the earth. It belongs to Him. All matters will return to Him. It began with the majesty of Allah, it ends with the majesty of Allah. It began with Allah ta'budu illallah, worship Allah. That's the message of, that's what happens after you recognize the majesty of Allah. So here it ends, fa'budhu, worship Him, wa tawakkal alayh, and trust Him. Okay, because trusting Him is part of worshiping Him. Trusting Him is what shows that we are not giving up in the face of difficulties and trials. فَعَبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ, your Lord knows exactly what He's doing. It's not like things are just random and His ways are mysterious. No, He knows exactly what He's doing, and there's wisdom even if right now you don't see it. فَعَبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ, continue to worship, continue to trust Him, don't ever give up hope. And such a beautiful, uplifting surah. The surah after that is Surah Yusuf. Surah Yusuf, of course, we will cover inshallah ta'ala tomorrow. But Surah Yusuf has the very same theme. Allah has a plan for you. And it's a very beautiful, symmetrical surah. Starts with Yusuf's dream, ends with Yusuf's dream. Starts with the brother's plot, ends with the brother's plot. Starts with the minister trying to seize, or minister's wife trying to seduce Yusuf, ends with her confession. It's like it's like a mirror image. Subhanallah. A very, very beautiful surah. We'll talk about it tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, that Allah has a plan for you, even when you think there isn't any plan. That will be for tomorrow, along with Surah Ar-Ra'd and Surah Ibrahim, Surah 13 and Surah 14, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Thank you for coming out. I'll see you all tomorrow, same time, same place. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Wa iyyakum.